appreciate your leadership this morning. And Deb, I hope you feel better. There's been a lot of sickness going around, I tell you, this last couple of weeks. Open up your Bibles, if you will, to the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Get your message outline. And I want to open up with, since we're talking about mercy, mercy of God towards this country. I'm either next Sunday night or following, I've been working on a message towards that end. But as we look at mercy, I know some of you saw this news story this week, and I can't go past this Lord's Day without mentioning it from the pulpit. We're a nation of laws. The rule of law is very important. And the City Board of Supervisors had to institute some new laws this week in San Francisco. And this was the law that the city of San Francisco felt that they needed to put into effect, into the books. And the law was this. Supervisor Scott Weiner, who introduced the legislation, said this: "We did hear from folks in the neighborhood that these are actually tangible issues that are happening in the Castro neighborhood, and so the legislation is important for that reason. I'm not a health expert," he went on, "but I believe sitting nude in a public place is not sanitary." The city of San Francisco, this is a city in America, allows public nudity in the city, no problem. And in this particular neighborhood, Castro, where it's a high homosexual population, mainly men, but both, are very frequently seen just walking around the streets completely naked. And enough people complain to the city supervisors, the board, that, you know what, I'm not a health expert, but maybe somebody's sitting naked on my restaurant seat before I'm served next, maybe that's not healthy. So the wise board of San Francisco took this into consideration and, based on health issues, said, you know what, that's probably true. So let's make it a law, and this is the law. Anyone who disobeys this new code will be fined $100 for the first offense, second offense $200, three-time offenders face a $1,000 fine and up to a year in jail. 11-0 vote by the board of San Francisco, signed into law by Mayor Ed Lee, that if you're naked and you sit in a public restaurant, you must put a cover or something down on the seat when you die. You know, this is the, when you sit here and watch this on the TV, this is the duh aspect of the show. I mean, does anybody see anything wrong with this at this point of the evolution, the progress of this country, 200 and some years later, when it is legal to walk around naked in a large metropolitan city of this country, and the only issue is whether it's healthy or not when you sit on a restaurant bench or seat after someone naked has just gotten up before you? If God would only have mercy on this country. But that's what we're going to talk about. The Beatitudes. Half of them are about our relationship to God. Half of them are about our relationship with each other. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is mercy. Because Jesus says, blessed or happy are the merciful, and so that's us, hopefully. We're going to look at how mercy deals with our relating or our relationship with each other. Matthew 5, 7. Happy are the merciful, for they will have mercy shown to them. In other words, you get what you give. It's the law of direct return. You hear all kinds of popular things, karma, what comes around goes around, all these things. But what Jesus is saying here is, you know, if you're friendly to other people, there is a propensity that you will get that in return. If you criticize other people, there is a possibility that you are more likely to get that in return. If you're merciful to other people, there is a propensity for you to be shown mercy back. And so what Jesus is saying is, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, if you want to treat people right, remember, this is our relationship with each other, be merciful. And so the question is, then, what is mercy? And I've got it in your outline there. It's love in action. Mercy is not, oh, I feel mercy for that person. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a thought when you're watching a movie or something in the plot line and mercy is evoked from you. It's more than just an attitude. It's more than I feel sorry for that person. But mercy is action, love in action. Psalm 145, 8, I opened with it. God is kind and merciful, slow to get angry, and full of love. And so the verse here is saying, you know, if you want to be like God, then you have to learn to be merciful. And how do I know if I'm showing mercy? How do I know in my day-to-day relating with other people, life, at work, in the neighborhood, with my family? Four marks. I've got them on your outline there. And I just want you to evaluate yourself this morning and just keep it between you and God and just realize that if you give it, you will probably get it. And if you don't give it, you will probably not see it shown in return. So look at number one. If I'm merciful, I will be patient with those who are peculiar. I had a hard time saying that with a youth group this morning. Peculiar. Okay, I believe that in every life, some weirdos must fall. So do you have those people in your life? The youth do at school. They could name them. They came right to mind. Maybe they're at your work. Maybe they're in your neighborhood or your family. I don't know. But their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. They're a good egg, but they're a little cracked. How do you handle those types of people when God brings them in your life, especially if they're obnoxious people or they just rub you the wrong way? The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Are you patient with everyone? I'm not. I struggle with this. The Bible says, though, if I'm merciful, I'll be patient with those that may not be like me, that may be a little different. So how can you learn to be more merciful, to be more patient with those who you may not have an affinity or identify with? You may even wonder what makes them tick the way they are. And the first thing you have to do is understand them, learn their background. When you understand where a person comes from, however different they are, what their background is, their history, what makes them who they are, you can be more patient. The Bible says, accept each other in the Lord, even as Christ has accepted you. So look beneath the external behavior. Look beneath the goofiness. Look beneath the idiosyncrasies or the things that make them unique and different that you notice. And you look at the internal, sometimes the internal pain. And Jesus is saying, merciful people are accepting people. I accept you for who you are, even though you're much different than I. I'm patient with you, less critical. And I realize often that hurting people are the ones that are hurtful to others. Look at number two. If I'm a merciful person, I'll forgive those who have fallen. So if you're to show mercy to others in your life when somebody just messes up, maybe they've just done you wrong big time. When people make mistakes, do you rub it in and never forget it and never let them forgive it, or do you rub it out? Do you hold it over their head for the rest of their life because you've got the upper hand and you never let them off the hook? Not the mercy that I see in the pages of Scripture. Colossians 3:13. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It's interesting about forgiveness. When I want to receive forgiveness, it feels so right. It makes so much sense to me. But when I'm called to give forgiveness, I have to struggle with it because it may feel wrong. I don't want to forgive people. I want justice. It's like the lady that had her picture taken from a professional photographer, and she got it back, and she didn't like the proofs, and she went to the photographer, and she said, "These pictures, sir, don't do me justice." And he said, "Lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy." But if I'm patient, I will be forgiving to the fallen. It's a lot easier for me to criticize than it is to sympathize. It's a lot easier to point a finger than it is to lend a helping hand. Look at number three. If I'm a merciful person, I will help those who are hurting. Proverbs 3:27. Wherever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. In other words, mercy is practical assistance. That's what Scripture is saying here. There are all kinds of people around us that are hurting, that are in need. And when we just simply feel sorry for those people, we are not being like Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's not being like Christ, that emotive feeling for the situation. What is being like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is doing something about it. When you take action, 1 John 3:17, 18. If someone who's supposed to be a Christian has enough money to live on and sees a brother in need but won't help him, how can God's love be in him? Let's just stop saying we love people. Let's show it by our action. Now that verse just stabs like a dagger. In other words, don't just say that we love people. Do it. Something tangible. Something real. Really helping people. I love John Wesley's motto. I've read it to you often. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Isn't that beautiful? Help hurting people. He probably made one of the biggest impacts in the world. Methodist, method. In other words, they had a discipleship method process, started the Methodist Church. But what he is saying is when you are hurting or you see someone hurting, to be a merciful person, you have to do something about it. Some of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson. I grew up with him. Famous question, quote. Somebody said, "Flip, what's your religion?" He answered, "I'm a Jehovah's bystander. I don't want to get involved." I know a lot of Jehovah's bystanders. Jesus is saying, happy are those who care enough to get involved. Jude 1:24, be merciful to those who doubt. When you're hurting, when someone is hurting, it is probably the likely time when they are most to doubt about things, about God, about who they are. And when they're really hurting and they're saying, where is my God? He's not even hearing my prayers. Maybe he doesn't even exist. I think he's forgotten about me. And if you've never had those types of struggles or doubts, then maybe you've never been in some real pain. Because doubts come in. And so what is the Christian response to a brother or sister in Christ that's at that place? How do we respond to someone who is in the middle of a situation that hurts so much that they're in that mode, that doubt? Do we debate them? Do we hit them over the head with scriptures and say, I'm going to prove to you that God does exist and he cares for them? Do we demean them and put them down and say, I can't believe you don't have enough faith to get through a situation like this. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't have these doubts. No, you don't desert them. What do? You show them mercy. You be understanding. You support them. You show mercy to those who doubt when there are pain. Look at number four. Here's a tough one. If I'm merciful, I'll do good to my enemies. Luke. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But love your enemies, do good to them, then your reward will be great. Be merciful just as your Father is. If you want to be like God, be merciful, that's saying. Do good to those who do evil to you. I can't imagine. It's exactly the opposite of what our culture, what our society says. What we are taught is when people hurt you, you hurt them back. You respond in kind. You double up. And God is saying, oh, wait, don't gossip about them. Don't backbite about them. Don't try to destroy them. He's saying, wait a second. God says, don't be a reactor, be an actor. Don't be a reactor, be a responder. So you not only forgive that person, but he's saying, be nice. Show mercy to the guy. It's what Jesus would do. It's hard to do. So tomorrow morning you go to work, the guy that is constantly on your case, constantly criticizing you, constantly working behind your back, maybe to get you fired or whatever it might be, the guy who's really a jerk, and the Bible says, you do good to that person. How would it be if every time he got in your face or criticized you, you complimented him? How would it be if you go to school and every time someone puts you down as a student for being a Christian, every time they put you down, you build them up, you say something nice to them and encourage them? It would blow people's minds, and that's what Jesus says to do. He says that's what mercy is. You return good for evil. Flies in the face of our culture. So to sum up so far, look at your outline. Mercy is love in action. It's the way God treats us, people. God is kind, merciful, slow to anger. The rest of that verse, his compassion is entertained in everything that he does. And so when I meet oddballs, when I meet cracked eggs, I check out their background, I realize what makes them unique, I understand that maybe they're hurting, and that's what makes them hurt others. And then I'm forgiving to those who have fallen. I don't hold it over their heads. I don't hold a grudge. We all stumble. Nobody's perfect. And we help those who are hurting, not just feeling sorry. James says, if you see a guy without any clothes and say, be warmed and of good cheer, see you later, and you don't do anything about it, so then you do good then to those who do bad to you. You show mercy. You return good to evil. That's tough to do. And so you need some very powerful motivators to be a merciful person. How do I walk out of here this morning and say, okay, maybe I agree, you've supported this enough. I understand the meaning of mercy. It's love in action. It's actually doing something, not just emotive. Understand the marks of mercy, but what are some motivations for me when the rubber hits the road to really be merciful in real life this week? One. First, because God has shown me mercy. Matthew 18:3. Shouldn't you be merciful to other people just as I have been merciful to you? God expects you to do to others what he has already done to you, for you. God still loves me. What a gracious, merciful God that we serve. I think of all the dumb stunts I've pulled, all the ways I've gone wrong, all the things, and he continues to shower me with his love and mercy. Because God has shown me mercy, I have to stop and remind myself, God, if you are this merciful, knowing my situation, if you can be merciful to me, surely I can be merciful to that person. Another time Jesus said, you're so concerned by the problems in that other person's life, before you get the speck of sawdust out of your neighbor's eye, why don't you get the telephone pole out of your own eye? In other words, he's saying it's no contest. I, God, have been so merciful to you that you need to be merciful to other people. We tend to judge other people by their worst faults, and we tend to judge ourselves by our best intentions. Did you hear that? We tend to judge others by their worst faults, and we tend to judge ourselves by our best intentions. It is just human nature. Don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along the road unless you've worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view, or the burden he bears placed on your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't sneer at the man who's down today unless you felt that blow that caused his shame or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, if dealt to you in the same self way and same self time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with the man who sins, or pelt you with words or stones, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you don't have sins of your own. For you perhaps that if the tempter's voice should whisper soft to you, as it did to him when he went astray, it would cause you to falter too. Be merciful. Why? Because God has shown me mercy. Second, look at number two. Because I'm going to need more mercy in the future. Not only has God shown me mercy in the past, not only has he been merciful to me up to this point, but I know I'm going to need mercy in the future. I do not expect to be perfect from this time now until I need it again, and I know God will be merciful. James 2:13, the man who makes no allowances for others will find none made for him. Only those who give it get it. Those who give mercy get mercy. Those who don't give mercy don't get mercy back. I need to be more merciful in my life because I understand God is going to have to show more mercy to me in the future. I am going to make more mistakes. And God might just give me what I deserve. Every time I demand justice and don't want to give mercy. If we all got what we deserved, none of us would be worshiping here this morning. God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need, and that's mercy. And mercy is giving to others not what they deserve, but what they need when they've fallen. Not what they deserve when they hurt us, but giving them what they need. Third motivation on why this week you need to be merciful. Number three, this is the easy one, because it makes me happy. Mercy makes me happy. Jesus said, blessed are or happy are the merciful. The opposite of that is true. Unhappy are the unmerciful. The most miserable people I have come across in life that I have known are the most resentful, who refuse to give up a grudge, who only know some unforgiveness that they hold over somebody else's head, over some issue in the past, and they do not realize that that hurts themselves. Unmercifulness makes you miserable. Ben Franklin, famous quote, when you're good to other people, you are best to yourself. Proverbs 11:17, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. In other words, doing acts of mercy gets us out of ourselves, gets the focus off of me. It's a tremendous way to get rid of depression, to develop acts of mercy. When you're patient with those that are peculiar in your life, when you forgive those who have fallen, when you are helping to those who are hurting, when you do good to your enemies, and you watch the cloud of depression lift and blow away because it gets you out of yourself, the focus off of you and on to others. And as you give your life away, the happiness comes. You ought to be merciful simply because it makes you happy. A boomerang blessing. What you give is what you get. So how do I become merciful? Starting point. You must first experience the mercy of God. You cannot offer mercy to anyone else until you have received first the mercy of God. You cannot offer forgiveness to anybody else until first you know that you have been forgiven by God. And one of the reasons why some people have the hardest time forgiving others is because they have never really felt that forgiveness from God. When I feel unforgiven, I definitely treat others in an unforgiving manner. So the starting point for this actualizing, operationalizing this, the starting point is I must receive the mercy of God, the peace of God, the forgiveness of God, and then I can offer it to others. Every sin I've ever committed, sins right now, sins in the future, God says those can already be paid for. Why? Because the Bible says we have broken man's law. Just as when you break man's law, there's a penalty. And just as when you break God's law, there is a penalty. The wages of sin is death, and that was put into place. Jesus took that penalty. God's plan says, now that's already been paid for. That's been my mercy, not justice for you. And because of Christ's work on the cross, and that's already paid for, you can have that forgiveness. You can have that mercy, not what you deserve. You can have that clean conscience, that clean slate, that new life, receive that mercy of God, and decide because you have been forgiven, because God wants to forgive you, because He is a forgiving God, because He loves forgiveness, because it's His nature, because He's a God of mercy. And once you have done that, transacted that work with God, once you really feel forgiven, once you have been graced by God through Jesus Christ, then it's easier to be gracious towards others. Once you have felt the mercy of God, then it should be easier to be merciful to others. And then the next thing you do, after you've done that, you start looking at people with the eyes of Jesus Christ. You look at the eyes that the Lord had. You more and more gain God's perspective. And He says the most Christ-like thing you can do is care for other people. Matthew 25 says one of the things that we're going to be judged for rewards in heaven, not for our salvation, but judged for rewards in heaven when Christ returns, is how we treated other people. The Lord said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison, you visited me. We're going to say, Lord, when did we do all that to you? And Jesus, I will say then, inasmuch as you've done it to anybody else, you've done it to me. God is going to ask you, how did you treat other people as a recipient of my grace and mercy, an ambassador of Christ? Were you like me, Jesus? Were you merciful? Jesus had a ministry of mercy. He lifted up the lonely. He accepted the rejected. He grieved with those who were sorrowing. He loved the unlovely. He helped those who were helpless and hurting, and He cared for them. And God says, I want you to be a little Christ too at your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your home. Treat the people in your life as I would have treated them. And churches, we want to be a place of mercy. We want our family here to be people just like this that are patient with the peculiar, that are forgiving to the fallen. And if you're perfect, I can tell you this church is not for you. This church is for people who haven't got it all together, who haven't made it all the way. We're all struggling. We all are able to admit it. We're all honest enough to realize that we all have a lot of growing to do, and we're forgiving to the fallen. It doesn't matter so much where you have been as where your feet are headed now. We want to be a place that really helps those in the midst of their hurt. We don't want to just say that that's what we're about, but we want to really help each other, the body ministering to itself. That's how we accomplish this, individually and corporately. Let's pray. Father God, if we have experienced the mercy of you, it is the greatest thing that anyone can experience. The mercy and love of God, because Jesus Christ cared enough to die for me and forgive every sin that I've ever done wrong. And all we can say is, Lord, I want to experience your grace and your mercy. Forgive all the things I've done. Help me to sense, feel that forgiveness. Help me to forgive others. Help me this week to offer that mercy to others that you offered to me, to show mercy to those that you have shown me in the past, And Lord, I'm going to need more mercy from you in the future. So help me to be patient with those that are peculiar, with things in my own family, things that bug me, irritate me. I need to be merciful to those people because you've been merciful to me, Lord. Help me to be forgiving to those who have fallen, to rub it out, not rub it in. Help me to be like Jesus because it's only in his name that we're able to, and it's in his name that we pray.